She may share a little bit of her story, but her parents were missionaries, her grandparents were missionaries, and now she is in northern Uganda raising up leaders to take nations, to take nations. And she ministered to us at the School of Ministry yesterday, and it was such a powerful time. And what it meant to me was just simply beautiful conviction. Beautiful conviction. Because she has such a sweet heart and a gentle spirit, but power comes from her lips. The word of God flows from her. So I just want you to stand up and welcome Carol today and just bless her and get ready for life. Amen.
Thank you so much, Pastor. Hallelujah. You can be seated. Father God, we just thank you, Lord, and give you honor. Lord, standing, sitting, kneeling, worshiping in your presence, but most of all, just being laid out before you as a living sacrifice. You alone are worthy of our honor, Lord. You alone are worthy of our praise. You alone are worthy, Lord Jesus, of everything you've deposited within us, Lord, to come forth and be manifested for your glory, for your kingdom to expand. And Lord, we ask you, as we honor you today and break bread, that Jesus, you would just teach us what it means, Lord Jesus, to be expanded by God and enlarged by you, stretched out, inhabited, repossessed, arrested, overtaken by you, by your very life, by your DNA, by your thoughts, by your dreams. Father, we just thank you. Teach us, Lord. Teach us. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. It's so good to be here. It's good to be back with family. It's good to be back home. And I say family too, because I want you to know that you've been in Africa. You know, when you send somebody, whether you sow, whether you water, or whether you go, you're going. You've gone. Because the word says in John 4, one sows, one waters, one reaps, but they rejoice together. So you've been dancing in Africa, in case you didn't know. So it's awesome. It's awesome what we see. And I wish you could get more of a glimpse of the harvest. Before I get going too fast here, there's newsletter sign up, or there will be, I think, before the service is over. And if you want to know more about what God's doing in these nations, because God has said, arise, go in, possess, and repossess the lands, because the kingdoms of this world must become the kingdoms of our Lord and our God. So that's our command together. But you can follow that, and also we would give you an e-blast, or an e-vite, whatever they call it, because I'll be sharing on Friday night at Bay Pres in one of the rooms, Bay Presbyterian, in one of the rooms, an evening presentation with videos and pictures and whatnot of what God is doing over there. Kind of hands-on and on the ground and taking nations and women's empowerment. We've taken 75 indigenous leaders who are our full-time missionaries, and we put them all into a leadership training institute. Because I said, I don't care if you're a mom or a cook, you're a leader. Because you're leading somebody. And you're going to lead them to God in character and leadership and knowledge and wisdom and in advancing the kingdom. So we're equipping and training them. I wrote up the modules. Actually, I wrote up what we're already doing for 10 years. God just said, write down what you've been doing. That's it. We'll just do it again. We'll do it again in South Sudan. But we'll adopt it according to what the Holy Spirit is saying. Because God is asking us to advance the nations. So we're going to show that on Friday night at 7. And if you want an e-vite, you can put your name down or put a business card down or something, and we'll get one to you. And then on Saturday and Sunday, I'll be at FMC just sharing. If you're interested, it's on the church armed and dangerous. Because I don't know about you, but I think it's time to pull out our atomic weapons of spiritual warfare. And we've had weapons. We need to know our God. We need to know our enemy, our identity, know our weapons, and know how to use them. And so we have weapons that we haven't even pulled out yet. And we need to be armed and dangerous, and we need to cause the devil and the demons in hell to shudder and tremble when we walk in the room and when we walk on the land. Amen? And it's time we reverse that. The church is not in fear, and we're not paralyzed, we're not intimidated, mocked, taunted, or pushed back in any way, but we're advancing. and we're taking the land. And there is no fear in love, because perfect love casts out all fear. So the minute you think you're afraid of anything, afraid of the future, afraid of losing money, afraid of you, what's going to happen if I let go? What's going to happen if I take a step of faith or get out of the boat? I'll tell you what, God will deliver you from that fear with the baptism of love. Because when you love Him and you love the people, you're going to wash their feet more than our own life. We're delivered from fear instantly. And He baptizes us in love, because fear has torment and it keeps us from the promises of God. Fear was the one thing that kept him from Canaan. So I'll be talking about that on Saturday night and Sunday night on the at 7 o'clock at FMC. And you'll get an address if you want to sign up. So God, give us a baptism of love. God, give us an advancement. I wrote in my journal the other day, the violent will be valiant. And we must be violent if we're going to take the kingdom of God by force. Amen? It has suffered violence. And God said it's time to arise and take back by force what belongs to Him. Amen? And as far as I'm concerned and you're concerned, America belongs to Him. Cleveland belongs to Him. South Sudan belongs to Him. The nations of the world belong to Him. And He said, ask me for a nation and I'll give them to you as their inheritance. Servants ask for supplies. Sons ask for cities. Sons ask for nations. Servants ask for things. But He said, today I've declared you are my son in Psalms 2:8. And He said, because you're my son, now ask me for a nation, because I want to give it to you. And Canaan was given to Israel. Go in and get it. They walked 40 years for that land and got there. And because of intimidation and fear, sure, there's giants there. But I want to tell you what, why not look at the grapes and the size of the fruit and the land flowing with milk and honey and all the inheritance you're going to get, instead of looking at the giants. They'll always be there. But God said you could have the nation. And it's time to advance in a very, very aggressive way. If we keep our ground and stand our territory, and that's all we do, Satan is advancing. We're already losing ground. Because in Revelation 12:12 says he's pulled out all the stops because he knows his time is short. Now, I'm going to talk to you this morning about pulling out all the stops. Because if the enemy's doing it, we better be doing it more. Amen? Much more. And we're going to pull out all the stops. So we decided when we first set foot, and it was on my heart, first set foot in a war-torn land in northern Uganda, God, we're going to start praying for the north. Start praying for the next nation. Yeah, I'm asking you for revival here. But whatever you give and whatever you sow, you receive. So we put our hands on the map, started praying for Sudan. At that time, it was Sudan. And God is beginning to give us that nation. So we're there with the radio station. It's about to go up. We still need some generators and a tower. But we got the land, and we got the building, we got the house, and we got the equipment. And so we're just praising God, because He said, if He has an army, then we need the Air Force, and we need the ground troops, and we need everything out there to get the word out. We have a vision for that nation. We have a vision to get 50 pastors to be the Davids. Bring them in, train them, give them all a motorcycle and a Bible school and a backpack. Go back in 50 directions to your villages, your language areas. All of them speak different languages. We're going to train you and equip you for 6 months. Go back, plant a church, and in 6 months, multiply that church every 6 months. And do 2 years discipleship. Get them grounded in the word. That's fruit that remains. And if you multiply at less than 3 years, you'll see 1,000 churches cover that land. Because God said, can a nation be born in a day? Yes, it can. In Isaiah 66, I believe it. When Zion travails, she gives birth. Can the sins of a land be removed in a day? Zechariah 3 says, yes, they can. And let's believe Him and not stop short. So that's where our faith is. Give us a nation in a day. Because you know what? That's right there called the tension belt of Africa. Because Islam, ISIS, everything dark is trying to push down. South Sudan is in the way. And we're pushing forward. And we're pushing northward. Because we're determined to advance and reverse the captivity. So pray with us about that. Pray with us for nations and territories as we pray for America. So that's our vision. And we're watching God begin to do it, because we've watched him do it for 12 years. Amen. But it takes the fearlessness. I just want to say this, and I so appreciate Pastor Lewis and Tina and the whole family and Mary. And I just appreciate you. I love you so dearly. And you can't come to Uganda again without going up with us to South Sudan either. So I just thank you, because I also see in them a generation of covenants. You see a generation of passing the baton. And that's this family, and it's on my heart, because this is what God wants to restore in Africa, is we've lost the passing of the baton and the DNA of God being passed down from generation to generation. Fathers have been killed or non-existent. HIV has been there. One time the news said this last war was 2,000 people put in mass graves. It wasn't 2,000, it was 20,000. We have no idea. And I said, families are torn apart. To even see a family structure is not there. So when I looked at my daddy, who's had a price on his head since 1975, and he's 91, and he said to me, "I know, honey, what God just keeps me alive and keeps me going, because you're a full-time job. He said, not an hour goes by I don't pray for you. Don't you ever retire from kingdom business. Don't you ever retire from kingdom business. God never finishes with you until he calls you home. And there's more to be birthed than more to be gained. So when you call with us to and send and pray and sow those seeds, you're sowing them into claiming nations back. And what we pray and what we put in the ground there, God's going to do here. You want to see that kind of spirit press back? You want to see them gained for the Lord Jesus Christ and the kingdom? You know what he said in Romans 9? I'm going to call her my people. She doesn't know she's my people. I'm going to call her my bride. And she doesn't yet know she's my bride. And I'm telling you, that's what he's saying about the Islam bride. And that's what he's saying about our cities. I'm going to already call you prophetically by a new name. I'm already going to call you my bride. I'm already going to call you my people. You don't know it yet, but somebody's got to tell them. They're already part of the bride of Christ prophetically. And we got to go, church. We got to pull out all the stops right here in this city. And I tell you what, God's bringing nations of the world right here for us to put out all the stops and win them into the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a responsibility with that DNA of the Father. And he said, you're going to go finish what the Son started. And you're going to go finish what the Father started. So he said to Jesus, my Son, go finish what I begun. Here's the baton. Jesus passed it to us and said, go finish what I started. Here's the baton. And we've got not only the calling of generations behind us, but the calling of ahead of us to keep passing that baton. And I tell you, I'm desperate to pull out all the stops. I want you to look at something with me in the Word. From Genesis to Revelation, we see a river. And I'm going to tell you, I was thinking, Pastor Lewis, because South Sudan is the only non-Arab-ruled, Arabic-speaking nation that I know of. And they know their destiny. And I'm going to tell you right now, this doesn't just go for South Sudan, but this goes for your life. Divine destiny demands your deliverance. I wrote that in my journal. And he said, if you knew what your destiny was, and if you knew the hope of your calling, as Paul said, may the eyes of our understanding be opened so we know what is the true hope of the calling of the church in the times and the seasons we live in right now. We got to know that. The sons of Isaac knew the times and the season. He said, divine destiny will demand their deliverance because they're called as the Arabic-speaking nation to win the Arabic world to Jesus. That's one of their callings. That's a main calling, and they know that. They're being healed. They're being empowered. They're being sent out. And right now, they're going into North Sudan, which now is Arab. They have evacuated and deported everything that even looks or smells Christian. And these young, radical, zealous, on fire guys, they don't even want to be called pastors. They just want to be called a firebrand for the Lord Jesus. They said, if I can give up my life, because my eternity is secured, but theirs is not, I'm going. And they've lined up, and they're going up into the, crossing the border into North Sudan. They're getting whole villages saved, coming to the Lord Jesus Christ through signs, wonders, and miracles in a week's time. And they're getting arrested and they're getting executed just that fast. But you know what? The next one goes in. He said, that's okay, I'm going. And the next one goes in. He said, that's okay, I'm going. And the next one goes in. That's okay, I'm going. And they're turning the world upside down for Jesus Christ. And they won't stop. And we say, this is what it's going to cost you. And he said, that's okay, because didn't Jesus say, drop your nets and follow me. It's going to cost you everything. He said, if you save your life, you're going to lose it. But we work very hard on self-preservation. And he's called us to deny ourselves. When you lay down your life, he will preserve it. And the devil cannot kill a dead man. You've already died to yourself. And you become the devil's biggest fear. And the demons tremble when you walk in and say, this land I'm claiming for the kingdom of God. So that's a kind of army. And they provoke us to godly jealousy. But do you know why? They'll go in one after the other when they know the cost. Because they've already paid the price in prayer. You cannot give birth to a baby you haven't carried. And you'll die for it if you give birth to it. I'll tell you what, if it's somebody else's baby, you may not be quite so ready to die for it. But if it's your baby, you'll die for it. If you've given birth to a vision, you'll die for it. If you've given birth to children of the living God and you're going to bring up that next generation, you will lay your life down because you know what it costs you to bring them into the kingdom of God. God wants us to birth vision. In a greater capacity, in a greater way. I told our staff, there's 75, almost 75 men in there at one time. Now we got a mixture, much more men and women. I said, you guys just get on the floor like you're in a labor room. I know what it looks like because I've worked a nurse and I've walked into maternity ward in South Sudan and there might be 25 ladies in one room and they're all giving birth and you go, okay, who's coming first? And you pop that baby and you run to the next one, you pop that baby and you're just going like that. And they're giving birth that fast because there's that many in one room. And I told those men, I said, you get on that floor and you better get a vision from God and you better get so pregnant with it, so enlarged, so expanded that you cannot contain the life of God in you anymore. If it burns like fire in your bones and burns like fire in your mouth, you will release it and you will release the glory of God on the earth, because God is looking for sons and daughters being brought forth to glory. Right through the South Sudan. I want to talk to you a second about the river of God and what that has to do with birthing a vision. But right through South Sudan is the Euphrates River, where the Nile River comes up and then it divides. And as I was going back to Genesis chapter 2, and he talks about the river through the Garden of Eden, okay? And trees growing on. They're growing beside the river. And you look in Revelations 22:2. Do you know where the trees are growing? Beside the river of God. And there are trees that produce life. Fruit that does not die. You bear fruit every month. You don't get old. We don't lack the fruit of the Spirit. We don't lack the power. We don't lack the ability to continue reproducing fruit. And you know what kind of fruit God's looking at? He said, I don't want just fruit. I want more fruit. In John 15, I want much fruit. And I want fruit that remains, that my Father might be glorified. And he said it all in John 15. So you see trees producing fruit. You see leaves that are healing for the nations. You look in Psalm chapter 1. You see a river again. Are you planted beside that river? Are your roots growing deep? And he said, if so, you'll produce fruit and it won't die. And you'll have leaves that are healing for the nations. Then you see it again in Psalm 46. A river of God's flowing right through the city. Then you see it again in Ezekiel 47. And you know what that river is? You know where it's coming from? It's coming from out of the door of the temple. It's coming out from out of the sanctuary. It's flowing into the streets. It's getting deeper. It's getting deeper. We're watching this happen. Every time I cross the Nile River, I said, God, go for it. Bust open the gates of hell, because the force of this river is flowing right out of the belly of your church. It's where he said it would come from. John 7:38. Out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. And when they flow, they're going to break open the obstacles. They're going to push down that door. And they're going to go out into the streets and the highways and the byways. And it's going to get deeper and deeper. And everywhere they flow, that's going to bring life. And the trees
on the side of that river are going to produce fruit. And there's going to be healing for the nations. The river of God has to be broken open from the belly of the bride. Out of your belly. Out of our belly, church. But you know what happened? That river's all blocked up. Most of the time, it's all blocked up. You know what was happening in the days of Noah? Why did God cause a flood? In the days of Noah, there was so much evil and wickedness on every side. You read it in Genesis chapter 6. And there was wickedness and perversion like you can't even imagine. That was way back then. And God said, Noah, I'm going to cleanse the earth again. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to cleanse it with water. And I'm going to open up heaven, and I'm going to open up the fountains of the deep. Genesis 7:11. You know what you find if you look at Matthew 24 and 2 Timothy 3? In the last days. And it may not be the last days of Jesus coming tomorrow, but he might be. We better be ready. He said, redeem the time, work for the night is coming when no man shall work anymore. And he said, I'll do a quick work in righteousness because the days are evil. And we'll be held accountable. Where's your talent? Did you multiply it? Show me what you've done for the kingdom. So he said, again, the days are evil. Matthew 24, 2 Timothy 3, lovers of pleasure, lovers of self, lovers of money, lovers of gods of our belly. We're disobedient. We're arrogant. We're selfish. We don't have any self-control. It's all in there. It's all in there. We're living in the days. And God said it's like the days of Noah. Well, what did I do in the days of Noah? I broke open the fountains of the deep. What do you think I'm going to do again? I'm going to break open the fountains of the deep. But this time I'm going to break it open through the belly of my church. And the water is going to come out from out of her belly. And it's going to flow out from the sanctuary and into the streets. And it's going to produce life. And it's going to produce trees that heal the nations. And that's the fountains of the deep. And the deep calls unto deep. And the Spirit of God is calling unto the deep things of God. Inside the belly of the bride. Break it open, God. Break it open and release it because time is short. Now, there's been a real move of God these last 20 years, probably. IHOP and other ministries have brought in great wave of immense worship. You know that? In the 70s, we said outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and we went into a lot of deliverance and discipleship. But this last real move in the church has been worship. You know that? Worship songs written right and left. Houses of prayer. One guy said, I'm doing so much soaking and sleeping, I just call it sloking. And I said, well, that's real good. Walk in the rest of God. But don't forget you're on the battlefield. And babies are born during battle. I said, God birthed the babies right out there where the bullets are flying. And that's where we see them born. Literally, where bullets are flying. We're on a battlefield, church. I just saw Ishmael come to the Lord Jesus from South Sudan. We're in the house of prayer. We're on our faces. You know how we pray? Not 5 minutes. We're praying 11 hours a day, 7 days a week. We're worshiping. We're warring. We're weeping. We're waiting. We're using the word. And we're asking God your ways. We want nations. And it comes because we get involved in kingdom business. The Lord Jesus lives to ever make intercession for us. And he has cried for the bride of Christ to be his helpmeet in that kingdom business. So darkness is broken in the places of prayer. We're on our faces. Ishmael walks in the door. He's a Muslim that has fought in the SPLM for 20 years, and he was just about to commit suicide. He said, I've seen so much bloodshed. He said, I was just in the graveyards looking for blood. He said, I saw atrocities, beheaded, decapitated. He said, I did it all. And he said, it got so much a part of me, the demonic, and it entered my spirit. He said, I would go out to kill just to get blood. And he said, I started drinking the blood. And then he said, I'd go to the graveyards, and I'd wander around trying to find blood. And then I found people were running away from me because I was looking for blood, and it wasn't even the battle time. And then he said, I couldn't find any, so I would slice my own wrist and start sucking the blood. And he said, I found Muhammad couldn't help me, but I heard Jesus could help me. And so he said, I decided I was going to get up and go look for Jesus. And you know where he started looking for Jesus? Where he, in the delivery room, we're all on our faces and we're weeping and travailing for the Muslims to be birthed in South Sudan. And he walks in the door and he says, can I find Jesus here? And I said, Jesus, here's a brand new baby. embraced him. I'd never seen such a radical transformation in one person in 24 hours. He was haggardly. He was filthy. He was hungry. He was suicidal. He was oppressed. And he drops to his knees. And one of our young men, we had a Brazilian guy visiting our team, and he gets on the floor, and our team gets on his knees and embraces him. And that man weeps like the prodigal son. I said, Jesus, you've been looking a long time down the road for this son to come home. You've been waiting a long time, Daddy. I said, but he's back. He's back. And I want 1,000 more just like him. And he stood up. He gives his testimony. We gave him food. Next morning, Ishmael, how are you doing? Our guy spent the night with him. He's bathed and cleaned the next day. How are you doing? He said, you won't believe this. I read John 15 all night last. Jesus came to me. You know what he said? Because they just expect him to come to him. He said he told me 3 cities in South Sudan I'm supposed to go right now and preach and win all the Muslims to Jesus. I said, that's wonderful, Ishmael. That's wonderful. But you got to get grounded in the word first. I said, we aren't just letting you go out there like that. I said, Bible school's going on in the afternoons. You sit down and you stay and go to the Bible school first. And I said, and then our teams will go with you and go do it. He said, okay, I'm going to go to the Bible school, but I'm still going to preach. I said, good, go preach, because we preach every weekend. So he's out on the grounds doing crusades, and we're out doing rescue missions. We had somebody else, we're all, I don't know how many homes, 20, 30 homes built, burnt. And we're going out doing rescue and trauma counseling and everything. He gets part of that all during the week after Bible school. And then he comes back and he says, I saw God heal a cripple. I saw God save another little Muslim girl. I saw this miracle. I saw that miracle. He's a brand new born again. You know who's going to bring the freshest fire in the church? It's a brand new babies. It's a brand new babies. You know who's going to win the drug addicts to Jesus? It's the next dealer you get saved. The next drug dealer. He's going to bring them all in. You know who's going to win the next little lady out there that's homeless and broken? She's going to bring them all in as soon as she gets saved. And he's going to go bring all the Muslims in. He can't wait. And he's going to go to Sudan and do that. And what a phenomenon. So he's in the Bible school and he's getting equipped and he's going and preaching and seeing miracles. That's a baby birth. That's a baby being born. But what's happened in the church these last 20 years or so, we've had such a move of worship. And that's been phenomenal. Because you know what's happened? The passion has returned to the heart of the bride for the heart of the Father. And we want the throne room again. And we want a romance. And we want to dance with him. And I do. And I dance with him. And he says, let's just dance. Just be lost in my love. But he said, remember, when we finish this dance, we got some blood to clean up. And we're going to get out there and roll up our sleeves and get to work. I said, then stop with the dance. The worship isn't the end. It's the journey. It's the means to the end. It's so we become so passionately in love with him that we'll go anywhere, do anything, lay down anything and give up anything, because he's more important than it all. When you get his heart, you get it all. You know that? When you get his heart, you get it all. That's the purpose of worship. That's the purpose, is so that he takes the very DNA of his Father that's part of his heart, and he takes it. And when we come in that intimate romance and close to the heart of God, he takes the very DNA from his Spirit and he deposits it into your spirit, and you conceive the word of God, the life of God, the dream of God, the vision of God. And it doesn't stop there. With that conception, he enlarges you and he makes you uncomfortable. The Holy Spirit came to comfort you, but he also came to make you extremely uncomfortable. So comfort is not the same. He wants to comfort your heart, but he's going to make you extremely uncomfortable with satisfaction and status quo. Yes, he wants to heal our brokenness, but he wants to break us and give us away piece by piece to feed the hungry. We can either give our lunch to Jesus and not really miss too much, except the little boy thought maybe I'll fast a meal. And he didn't know he'd get any food back. He's giving it away. Most of us give away. Okay, we can do without a meal. But how about we become the 5 loaves and the 2 fish? How about we get in the hands of Jesus? You tear me apart. You give me away. You feed the hungry, God. Just keep on going. Just keep on going. I'm holding nothing back. So in that place of intimacy and romance, the church is there. But a lot of times we stop there. But you know what? He ain't going to let us stop. Because when there's a seed planted in your womb, you aren't going to keep it from growing. You all of a sudden look down, you go, hey, my borders are being enlarged. Hey, I'm stretching. Hey, I'm getting bigger. Hey, I'm getting pregnant with the things of God. And He will make sure that the seeds of the vision and the purposes and the destiny of God is planted in your heart during a worship. And He will enlarge your borders. And He will stretch forth your stakes tents. And you'll find yourself getting up at the middle of the night and going, God, I can't sleep. There's a groaning inside of me. What are you praying for? Let me come in and find out. And you walk into the throne room and find out what He's in there praying for and say, okay, come on, let's go after. You walk up over the Mount Olives and you see Jesus looking out over Jerusalem and over Cleveland, and He's just bawling, but He's standing there alone. And you come up alongside Him and say, I'm praying with you, Jesus. Come on, what are you feeling? What are you seeing over this city? And He said, I wanted to gather them under my arms. Do you not feel what I feel? I wanted to hold them. I wanted to call my bride, but she wouldn't. I sent her prophets. I sent her people to warn her. She stoned them. Can you feel that? And you feel this pain. And you say, Jesus, I can't imagine. You left the whole city. You had that many kids. And they wanted to stone and throw away. And they didn't want you. They didn't know. And they rejected. And you begin sharing in the sufferings of the Father. Because Peter said, Paul said, Philippians 3, I determine to suffer the loss of all things that I might win the Lord Jesus Christ, share in His sufferings that I can have His glory. But do we know what those sufferings are right now? Yeah, He went through the cross. But do you think He's finished travailing and weeping and crying out for the next soul and the next soul? He hadn't done. And church, are we there beside Him giving birth? He said, I'm determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And that's become my favorite scripture. And you know what? Determination is a little bit more than passion. We get passion in worship. And we get passion. Passion is a strong emotional feeling. It's a desire. Oh, we love you. I'm passionate. I'm desperate. I'm hungry for you. And we have this strong feeling and desire. And sometimes then we go home and it stops there. Desperation is different. Desperation is a holy fervor. It's a determination and a driving force that takes you somewhere beyond what you've ever known or where you've ever been. Ask the Syrophoenician woman. When Jesus said, I came to the Jews, not the Gentiles. And she said, but even the dogs get the crumbs, God. I'm not leaving here until my little girl's delivered. Because she was a desperate woman. And so is a woman with the issue of blood. I don't care what they say or think and what I look like. I will touch the garment of God. And she got what she wanted. And Bartimaeus was a desperate man. And when they said, Bartimaeus, don't bother Jesus. He's a busy man. He's got places to go and people to see. Jesus! He screams louder. Watch me. Watch me. And Jesus turns around like He does you and I. How bad do you want it? He said, you know what it cost me? You know how bad I wanted it? This bad. How bad you want it? He turned around and said, Bartimaeus, here's your sight. David danced like a wild man before God. And when Micah looked at him and said, you foolish guy, he said, watch me. You think I'm violent now? I'm going to be more violent than you've ever seen before. And he dances more wildly. If we ever let the voices of religious people and the expectations of systems stop us, then I'm going to say we're not really pregnant. Have you ever seen a lady give birth? Well, I'm a nurse. I've seen plenty. And I've seen them over in Africa and they deliver their own babies, by the way. They'll drop them down, cut the cord, and get on the motorbike and get home. And I've watched them do it. And they're out in the garden digging the next day, women. They're out with their home and their baby, newborn baby. I said, how old's that baby? Oh, she was born yesterday. I said, man, you got some guts. And she does. She got some guts. So she's strong women. They're strong. And sometimes they're delivering their own. You're the only one in there. But you know what? God's bringing us to the day when James, if you read in chapter 12 of Acts, James and Peter were both in prison. James was beheaded. I thought, God, that could have been my daddy. But Peter, the church prayed. And Peter is released. That's in there for a reason. Isaiah 65:8. The new wine is in the cluster. We're coming to a time of corporate delivery. We're coming to a time of corporate birthing. The new wine and the outpouring of the Spirit is in the cluster. It's no more going to be one man in the prayer closet. God's just going to birth them babies right out here all over the place. And we're all going to be in the delivery room together. And I'll tell you what, when that pregnant woman goes into labor, she doesn't care about food. Are we there yet? She doesn't care about television. Are we there yet? She doesn't care about anything else. Are we there yet? She's going to give birth. And you know what happens before that baby comes? Her water breaks. There comes the river. Right out of her belly. It precedes the manifestation of the sons of God coming into glory. And he's waiting for us to birth it. Daniel knew that if he got on his face in the form of delivery and he kneels down face down and he prays for a nation, that God was going to do something. And God said, from the first day you start praying, I heard you. But Michael had to wrestle with the prince of the power of the air over Persia. And sometimes that wrestling is pushing, pushing. We had ladies back then in labor 36 hours. Boy, they were worn out. But I tell you what, Peter says, when that baby comes, you forget all the pain you ever went through because of the joy. Who for the joy set before him endured the cross, Hebrews says. And so they push. And you'll know you got your tents and your borders enlarged by God when that time of delivery comes. But God wants the manifestation of many sons to glory. He sends us in Romans 8. You know what? Creation is groaning. There's famine. There's earthquake. There's war. You don't finish one tragedy and there's another one. And all creation is groaning pains. What are they groaning for? The manifestation of the sons of God. To be brought to glory. It's the birth pains. And he told us about it in Matthew. And he told us about it in Peter. And he talks about it all through the word. And then he says in Romans 8:26. And you know what? The Spirit of God is groaning. Deep within us. With groanings that cannot be uttered. There's no words. I've heard those women scream. And I've heard them say things you don't want to hear. But all they care about is getting that baby out. And they're groaning and they're crying. And that cry of desperation will come before the Father's ears. And he said, it's time. He said, in Micah, I didn't bring you to a point of delivery to bring forth just wind. I brought you here to bring forth. And he said, can a nation be born today? Isaiah 66, when Zion travails, she will give birth. It's time, church. And we've come to the point of romance. And we love that place of comfort and sloking and sleeping and worship. But I tell you what, that's all wonderful and good. But it's to equip you for the battle. It's to give you a fresh anointing to get out there and birth them babies. And all at the same time. Because God said there's sons and daughters of glory. Isaiah 8:18. Your sons and your daughters are for the signs and wonders in the land. Whoa, that's like revival. That is. They were of those in Acts 17 who turned the world upside down. That's the birthing of the manifestation of the sons of God. You know where else we see a pregnant woman? She's ready to give birth to the glory of God, the man child. And there's a dragon stationed right there. Revelations 12. He's ready to devour that. I'll tell you what, everything in the Bible wants to keep the church. I mean, everything in darkness and hell and of the demonic kingdom wants to keep the church from giving birth. It's true. Because he knows if we reproduce after our kind, we're going to have that many more like Jesus's running all over the place. And he said, I thought I crucified that man. And look at, he's multiplied millions. His DNA must be pretty powerful. It's still going on. They're still giving birth. And he can't stop it. But in Revelations 12, he's stationed in front of the woman to devour the man child. And again, Michael is released. And God says, Michael, go down there and just take care of that old dragon. Because she's going to give birth and I'm going to take care of my church. And you read the rest of the story. And he does. And I tell you what, I say, you don't walk in a place in South Sudan if you haven't, you don't walk on a trail unless there's a trail of your travail. Because if you haven't sowed and to give birth, if you don't, if we don't have that passion to carry the baby and to bring it to delivery, then we won't take care of it and nurture it when it's born. We won't. We'll leave it. Some guys in South Carolina said, oh, I think it was Reinhard Bonnke Crusade is coming through, and they said, we need discipleship. Will you train us on how you do discipleship? There's the pastors. And we want to do the follow-up and everything after the crusade and stuff. And I said, okay, that's great. So there was a few of them in a room, and I said, let me ask you one question. I said, well, so where's your travailing? Are you travailing for the souls? Well, it was real quiet. Nobody raised their hand. And I said, then I don't think you'd probably be willing to nurture him. Because it costs a lot to nurture him. And you know what? It costs a lot to follow Jesus. We cheapen salvation and then wonder why discipleship is such a challenge. He didn't cheapen salvation. Rich young ruler says, well, I don't know about that. I got my wealth and I sure like it. I'm going to hang on to it. Jesus didn't run after him. Come on back here. Let me lessen this a little bit. No, he didn't. You know what? We're bought with the price. He said, you drop it all. You save your life, you're going to lose it. You want to lose it for my sake? That's when you'll find it, and that's the only time you'll find it. You lose it for my sake completely, and you find the greatest fulfillment there is in life. And he's ready for his church to give birth. He's ready for us to come into such an intimacy and a romance by the Spirit of the Lord God that he takes the DNA of the Father, because the work is not yet done. Matthew 24:14, and this gospel shall be preached to every tongue and every tribe and all nations, and then the end will come. And the work is not done. And Peter, he says, it's not my will that anyone should perish. That's why I delay. So he brings the church, and let's romance. And we worship, and we sing, and we dance, and we love on him with a passion. And then he says, but if you will let me, I'm going to put a holy fire within your bones and within your belly. And when that thing begins to enlarge, you will not contain it, because I have a purpose for you to bring forth the manifestation of the sons of God into glory. And it must happen through his bride. And he's ready. He's ready for us to come to the time of delivery. He said, cry aloud and deliver. And when we're desperate and we begin to cry aloud, Isaiah 32 says that. Jeremiah 9 says, my tears running down like a river. David said in Psalm 42, my tears have become my food day and night. Lamentations 2:19, get up and cry at the head of every street in the middle of the night for your children, because they are no more. But every baby that's been lost, I believe God in his redemptive plan will bring 7 souls back into the kingdom of God for every child lost, that's lost their life. But God redeem our children, because he's after nations and generations. He's after church that we contain the vision of God until it has to be delivered. They've told me in Africa, well, we carried the baby 12 months and 13 months. I said, you what? 13 months, and true, they have, because they don't induce and they don't have C-section. I said, would you just pray that this baby finally comes? So when it's time to deliver, we really pray those babies come, because there's no other way. You know what, guys? We don't have plan B. If you have plan B, it's real easy to go to plan B. But if it's God and God alone, and he's plan A, and he's plan B, and he's plan C, we will see what we have never seen before. Eye has not seen, and ear has not heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for those who love him. And I don't know about you, but I'd like to see 1,000 children delivered out of this womb. Psalm 110 says, out of the womb of the morning, I'm going to bring forth my power. God doesn't want any overdue babies. He doesn't want it. And if he has to induce you a little bit with the dynamite of the Holy Ghost and shake you a bit to wake up out of the coma, and he said, this baby's ready. It's not time for sleeping. Time to drop everything. We're going in for those contractions. Because when you said transition, Pastor Lewis, I said, that's exactly it. And that's a medical term. That baby's moving down the canal. She's in transition right now. And The next phrase is it's crowning. I could see it. I could see it. I could see the head of South Sudan. That nation is coming forth, and there will be a government of God upon the church in a brand new way to deliver forth a people that have been exploited and tormented by darkness. We just finished a one-week crusade up there, a one-week prayer gathering. We didn't pray 5 minutes or 30 minutes. We prayed 11 hours a day. I was there 12 hours a day before, and I stayed late. 12 hours a day for 7 days. And we didn't stop. And government leaders came, and intelligent people came, intelligence officers. And we had MPs. We had apostles, bishops, pastors. We had lost people. And we had the Muslims come. We had every opponent you can imagine. We love them. We said, come on, right in and pray. Hindus, Buddhists, witch doctors. We had witch doctors come. Come on in. Come on in and pray on the ground. But they didn't. They laid their mat right out here, and they started to pray against us, including the witch doctors. I said, oh, God, there's some resistance for this delivery here you want to do. And so it wasn't just a quiet little prayer. It's on their faces, and they were bowing down. Pretty soon you looked up, and the sky is churning like this, black, just churning. And we began just putting our finger up and speaking to the sky and said, you be still in the name of Jesus, and taking authority over every dragon and every opposing force coming against us, and taking authority, but going in love, saying, come on in, join us. And we began birthing, and we began birthing. By the end of that day, there was such a peace on that ground. By the end of that day, leaders were even coming up and saying, this is the turning point for this nation. This is a new beginning. This is a new foundation, because they watched physically happen what God was doing in the spirit. And he said, we're going forth now. We don't have any fear. Those who know their God will do exploits. Church, it's time to deliver, and it's time to bring forth sons and daughters to glory. Rebecca said, I have two nations in my womb. And how many of us have even one? How many of us have one person, one city, one nation? Many times I wake up in the middle of the night, and the way I'm awoken is my pillow is already soaked with tears. And I didn't know I was travailing in the night. And I woke up and I said, now what were we praying for, Lord? And he'll show me. And then I keep on going into battle. And God wants to use us in the day and at midnight, and when it's convenient and when it's not convenient, and when you're driving down the road and you got your own agenda. Because when that baby's ready to come, he comes on any schedule he wants. He doesn't fit into our routine. He doesn't ask us if it's convenient. He doesn't tell us and announce his coming. He comes, and we make way, and we make room, and everybody rejoices together. But it becomes our number one priority. Get that baby out. And God has a baby and a generation. He has a spirit of revival and glory. And I'm going to tell you, we have not seen it yet. We've seen raindrops, but we've seen none of it like he wants to manifest it yet. We haven't even touched the manifestation of the book of Acts, when they turned the world upside down and the way they lived. You're talking about tithing and giving 10%. God said, you want Old or New Testament? They said, well, you're going to Old Testament, you give 10%. New Testament, you give it all. So said, just let's go to the New Testament. You give it all. You just give it all. And so let's go in the New Testament. It's time to give birth. They got stoned and imprisoned, just like Bashir. And I said, Bashir, you just got out of solitary confinement in Khartoum. How many times they've arrested? They bashed your head in, and now you're being deported. They kicked in all of his intestines. He's a Sudanese, and he's up there getting the gospel under the door of all the Muslim schools to the children, and all the witch doctors are getting saved, and everybody that doesn't know Jesus is coming to Jesus. And they said, I said, you were in 21 days of solitary confinement? And he said, yes. And he said, but I've just won him to the heart of Jesus. And I said, and he said, so it was worth it all. I said, what'd you do for 21 days? He said, they pushed bread in the little hole on the top. And then I had to drink from the toilet bowl. And I said, Bashir, I said, so you were going to be killed. He said, they came in to execute me. My 21 days was over. And he's the one seeing all these young radical on fire guys get executed. And he said, it was my turn. But they came in and said, now we're going to give you a choice. You can either sign over your bank account and your cars and your wealth and your possession, everything, get out. Or we're going to execute you tomorrow. And it is your turn, because they thought he was a spy. So he said, okay, I guess I'll go on out. And he left. Now I said to him, he just was out. He just came from the north, and he's sitting there in the south and Juba, and I'm just bawling, and I'm going, but the church, the believers, there's people up there, and they need Jesus. We got to go. He said, I'll go tomorrow. I'll go back tomorrow. But they were making him go get healing. You know what? His skull was cracked open, and he was sitting there telling me this story. And his pancreas and his liver, I think one of his kidneys was all damaged and broken from being kicked in the boot. No, I'm going to go back in tomorrow. Now, I didn't see Bashir until after the prayer gathering in Juba this last time. And I said, Bashir, where have you been? I said, we just been praying for Sudan. Well, it's a bride of Jesus. We got to go. He said, oh, I went right back in. And we've been sending missionaries up there. I said, you went right back in. What happened? He said, no, and I changed his name so you protect me. He said, no, I don't use a passport. He said, I go in the back of gunny sacks, and I just go in on camels, and I go through swamps, and I go in the back of cattle truck. And he said, 40, 50 people will be in there, unbelievers, some of them witch doctors, some they don't know Jesus. And he said, I win them all to the Lord Jesus. I just baptized 56 of them, and we leave a house church. Then he said, I leave the next day, and God tells me where to go. And there's another group, and they're waiting for me. And I lead him to the Lord, and we baptize him. And there's another house group. Then I move on the next day. And that's how he moves. And a whole nation is getting flipped upside down for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the armies of this world will become the armies of our Lord and our God. I believe that every soldier of darkness, every soldier that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ, in any army he serves in, God wants to transfer him from the armies of this world into the armies of the living God. He said to Ezekiel, go in 37, and he said, I'm going to show you where to find my army. You go breathe on that valley of bones. And he said, out of nothing, I'm going to make an army. Because those that have most recently come to life have the greatest story, and you can't keep them quiet. And God's going to use them. And God loves those nations. And God's after people that will deliver and manifest his glory. God's after turning the world upside down. And God's after using the bride to reproduce. He wants a lot of kids. He wants a lot of children. And he wants all the glory for it. And he said, carry my glory, but don't touch my glory. And we're watching him do incredible things that only God can do. And he gets the glory. That's why he wants to use the church. Because when all of us are out here giving birth, we don't know whose baby that is and whose baby that is. And who. There are babies. There are babies. And not one person gets the glory for any one baby and any one thing. God gets it all. And it's time to deliver, church. I'm telling you that Issachar knew the times and the seasons. And when I go back again, and every time I'm in there periodically, I said, guys, we got to go into war. But we got to go into travail. It's time to give birth. It's time to give birth. And the Spirit of the Lord begins a cry. And the Spirit of the Lord begins desperation. You know what happens when you begin to cry out? God shows up. Because when we begin to cry out like a woman in travail or hunger for God, and we lift our voice, there's silent prayer, there's listening prayer, there's worshiping prayer, and it's all good. But there's something about the power of crying out. Because when you lift your voice, something in your flesh dies. A little bit of your dignity goes down to the ground. A little bit of your self-consciousness disappears. A little bit of our self-righteousness and our religious spirit kind of falls off. Because it's time to give birth. And when it's time to bring forth, we don't care where we are and who's there and what's going on. It's time to get the baby out. And it's time to deliver forth the manifest presence of God in our midst and in our cities.
And the world has waited so long for it. That's why the earth is groaning. As they need to see the manifestation of the sons of God. Sons and daughters of glory. And he's brought us to delivery. Not to bring forth wind, but to bring forth children after our kind. And that's what he's doing in nations, but that's what he's doing in this nation. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus. I want you to stand up with me. We're going to pray. And I want you to put your hand on your belly. And I want you to go into a birthing. And I want you to ask God to make a midwife out of you and a delivery out of you. I don't care if you've ever been there or not before. But if you have, we're going to go to another level. We don't have. Sometimes labor is 5 minutes. That'd be great. Just pop them out. And sometimes it's 36 hours. But we don't stop praying until. We don't stop praying until. Push until something happens. And so we pray until something happens. And God wants to break open from our dignity and our confinements, whatever they might be. And he wants to break open the manifest purposes of God. He wants to break open the manifestation of his spirit and of his glory in Cleveland. And it's got to flow from out of our bellies, church. It's got to come out from under the doorway of the temple. He said, if you'll leave the building of your own house and you'll build my house in the book of Haggai. Because he said, consider your ways. You wonder why there's desolation. He said, we wonder why we're still struggling with the same things. He said, get over there and start building my house of prayer for all nations. And he said, when you do, I'm going to come and I'm going to fill it with glory. And the latter glory will be greater than the former. And in his place, he will give his peace. And he said, take it seriously. Consider our ways. Consider our ways, church. Consider our ways that God wants to birth more than we've ever seen. We've seen it. We've seen a little. We've seen one baby. But God's after a lot of kids. God's after cities. God's after a nation. God's after transformation. And it's only going to happen in his church travail. Put your hand on your belly and just begin praying with me. And I want you to lift your voice and I want you to cry out in the spirit. Oh God, would you just come? Would you rip open my womb and would you cause rivers of living water to begin to flow again? Lord, I want to be in the streets and I want your power and your glory to flow through this city. Lord, we ask you for a generation. We ask you for a birthing. We ask you, break open the water, Father. Break open the womb of your pride, Lord. It's time for sons and daughters to be brought into the kingdom of God. It's time for your glory to be manifested. Lord, even greater than the anointing is your glory over our city. Your glory over our nation. Lord, we are desperate, Father. We are desperate for something more than ourselves. We're desperate for something bigger than ourselves. We're desperate to see the reality of Acts and even beyond. Lord, I don't want to die and go home without seeing the kingdom of God birthed in my generation. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we want to see your purposes fulfilled in our generation. Break it open, God. Break it open, Father God. You guys can sing. You guys can play. Break it open, Father God. Break open the fountains of the deep. The time is short. We're living as in the days of Noah. We're living as in the days, Father God, when there's wickedness on every side. But you said that's perfect. Give birth. Give birth to my glory. Give birth to my sons and daughters. Give birth to the manifestation of the miraculous. Give birth to a depth of my presence that nothing else can give birth to. Only the church, only the pride of the Lord Jesus Christ can birth forth the DNA of God. No one else can do that. No one else can birth the children of God. No one else can produce after his kind. No one else except the church, except your bride. Lord, awaken us, stretch us, enlarge us. Take us into the point of delivery. If you want to pray and get on your knees right here, God wants to take us to another level individually in the midnight hours. He wants to take us into birthing rooms. He wants to turn our prayer meetings into delivery rooms and our offices into prayer rooms. He wants to turn them in. He wants us radical abandonment. It's time to birth.
Father, we ask you. We ask you, Lord, break open the womb. As you break open the morning and you deliver forth sons and daughters and you bring forth your power out of the womb of the morning. Oh, God, we ask you. Deliver forth through your bride. Deliver your bride into her calling. Deliver your bride into her destiny. Deliver your bride, Lord, into a repossession of the children that the devil has stolen. Deliver us forth to regain them. Deliver us forth to reclaim them. Deliver us forth with action and obedience. Deliver us forth with radical abandonment. Deliver us forth, Lord, into a realm of empowerment and purposes. Deliver us forth where we will not be silent. We'll never look back. We'll never go back. We'll never think back. Oh, God, we can't turn around. It's too late. It's too late to take that baby back in. Bring it out, God. Bring it out, God. Give us the Canaan lands we've asked you for. Give us the lands of promise. The heathen is our inheritance. The uttermost parts of the earth as our possession. You said we could ask you, Lord, to become sons, to become daughters, birthed into the kingdom. We only want your glory. And Lord, the new souls are the fresh blood of the church. The new souls. Lord, we want one, we want two, but we want 100. The new souls are the blood of the church. Oh, God, bring them in. Oh, God, make us uncomfortable, unsettled. Father, discontent with status quo. Discontent with the ordinary. Discontent with the normal. Lord, make us radical in the night. Where two or more agree. Where two or more go. And even deliver together in the highways, in the byways. Make an army, Lord, out of the outcasts. Make an army out of the blind and the lame and the crippled, as you said in your word you were going to do. Make an army out of bones. Make an army out of those the world says there's no hope for. Make an army out of places where there's war and bloodshed. Raise up an army. Open up the graves and raise up an army, Father. You did it once. You did it twice. You can do it again, Lord. Take us into, Lord Jesus, the streets. The prodigals or the prostitutes. Doesn't matter, Lord. Take us to the drug dealers. Take us to the children and the broken. And oh God, bring forth babies. Bring forth babies. Your house will be full. Your table will be full. Lord, we will not take no for an answer. Rachel said before Jacob, give me children or I die. Give me children or I die. Lord, give us children or we die. And Esther said, if I die, I die. But I'll go in before the king for a nation. We'll go in before a nation, Lord. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, God. Our life is already yours. It's already secured. We got to see your babies born. We got to see your people changed. And we got to see this city upside down. We will not be quiet. You're raising up an army that will not hold their peace night or day until you make your name a praise in the earth. And that's what you said. Who will cry out to you in the midnight hour in the streets. Lord God, who will push through every obstacle, every single stumbling block, and every single sign of the flesh, and push through to gain back what belongs to you. To gain back what belongs to you. Thank you, Father. And as Jim Elliot said one time, God, and we raise our voices with him to say he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. And Lord, we will give what we can't keep. That's our life. And we'll gain what we can never lose. Take us there, Lord. Take us there as a church. Take us there as a church, Lord. Take us from the intimacy of worship into the delivery rooms of birthing forth. Birthing forth. Take us there, Father. It's time. It's time. It's past time, Lord. Pull out all the stops. Break all the barriers, Lord. And do what no man can do, Father. In the name of Jesus, pull out all the stops and break all the barriers. Let there be such a force of prayer, such a force of that water pushing out of the belly of your bride that cannot be contained. Such a force of the flow of the Spirit that's going to come from the inner man that it cannot be contained. Push it out, Lord. Push it out. Break open the fountains of the deep. break open the womb that's going to bring forth fruit in season and out of season. That's going to bring forth leaves that are healing for the lives that are hurting and broken. Father, it's only your river. And everywhere it flows, everything it touches will bring life again. It'll come back to life, Lord. You're all about resurrection and restoration. You're all about it, Lord. You're all about restoration and resurrection. Oh, Father, restore generation. Restore a nation. Restore a city. And you said, Lord, when you restore something, you make it better than it was at the beginning. We thank you, Lord, that in your restoration, you make it better than it was at the beginning. We thank you, Father. We thank you for doing what no man can do. We thank you, Lord, that you are the master deliverer. You are the master deliverer. And that, Lord, in the process of delivery and birthing for others, we find ourselves delivered. In the process of birthing and delivering forth others in bondage or that need to be birthed into the kingdom, we find ourselves delivered. We find ourselves healed. We find ourselves restored. Father, we praise you that even as you said, a woman is saved in childbirth and in bearing children, how much you take your church to another level and another level and another level in bearing children, in childbirth, in producing after our kind, producing after God kind. Give us the travail, give us the intercession, give us the birthing, and give us the feet to our faith to go and birth them on the battlefield. Father, in Jesus' name, strategy, strategy, strategy. It was a day I wrote down in my journal when penitent, pleading, persistent, pounding prayer take priority, preeminence above programs, above performances, above pleasing man. We will see God's power and presence and his penetrating force of life permeate our planet again. God's waiting. How bad do we want it? How bad do we want it, church? And I challenge you in the midnight hour, get up. Get up in the midnight hour of our life. Get up in the midnight hour of the watches. Get up in the midnight hour of the season of your life and cry out. Because God's still in the business of birthing babies, of birthing those forth into delivery, of manifesting sons and daughters into glory, of manifesting the miraculous, but much more than that, of manifesting forth a nation and a city. It's in the corporate anointing. It's in the cluster. The new wine is in the cluster. As we yield to the time of travail, as we yield to the time of the contractions of the Holy Ghost. He wants a river. He's after the river of water, life-producing water. And as we yield to the wooing and the drawing and the contraction of the Spirit, God will manifest and bring forth and birth his glory through his church again. There's no delivery without pain. There's no given birth without pain. Even the flesh can tear. God might tear our flesh. But when we get a hold of our destiny and we get a hold of what that baby's going to be like coming forth, and we got an altar full of babies and streets full of new babies, the pain is forgotten. The sacrifice is nothing, nothing compared to the lives that are birthed into the kingdom. Open our eyes to see and to understand the hope of our calling. Open our eyes to see the babies we could be birthing right now, Father, right now, right now. And Lord, we'll go into delivery rooms with you to deliver forth. And in that, we are delivered, but we're delivering others forth. We'll go into those rooms with you, God, from the rooms of romance and worship into the rooms of delivery, labor, and travail. As Paul said, I labor until Jesus Christ is formed in you. We will travail until Jesus Christ is formed in this city. Jesus Christ is formed
in a generation, and Jesus Christ is formed in a nation. We will labor. We will travail with you. We will go. We will go into delivery rooms. Turn our prayer closets into rooms of delivery. Turn our prayer closets into rooms of delivery. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah.
We don't have anywhere to be, do we? Do we? Because God is impregnating us again. If you could just sit down, I feel like the Holy Spirit wants to say something in this room. He said a lot already. But as I was praying, you know, you can just hear and sense the apostolic anointing over Carol's life. And what God is doing with us right now is He's attaching us to the apostolic. He's bringing that into our ministry. And my dad looked over and he had to leave early, but he said, don't ever lose this voice in this ministry. Because apostolically, he is setting a stage for your children and your children's children that need to hear the word of God preached like that. Amen. So when I was praying there, I felt Holy Spirit say, attach yourself to this ministry. And he wasn't talking to church on the North Coast because we support her. He was talking about you. That there is an apostolic anointing on her life, sent to the nations, like Philip was sent to the eunuch, the Ethiopian eunuch. Carol is sent to the nations to call sons and daughters who are pregnant, to give birth and to take nations. And that is the exact assignment that we have, that you have here in this place, for this city, for your families, for this nation. We are called to raise up sons and daughters who are pregnant. We are pregnant with children who are pregnant. And my heart's been crying out for this lost generation. You know, there's a generation that grew up with me that are pretty much lost from this church. And I'm tired of missing them. And I've been crying out for them. And God showed me a picture over there on my knees. He said, they're coming back pregnant, Mary. They're coming back pregnant. And they're going to give birth. So when we attach ourselves to a ministry that preaches the gospel and preaches the word and goes into places, dark places, we are sowing, and we are enabled and we are empowered by the Holy Spirit to go get our lost kids and watch them give birth to revival. And we will see this nation turn around. We will see this nation turn around. So today, we're not going to let Carol leave without sowing into her and without attaching ourselves to her and demanding this apostolic blessing and this revival come here as well, but also supporting what she's doing in the nation of Sudan. I know your heart is there, and I know that the Spirit of God is saying this right now. So I'm going to give you an opportunity to take an offering envelope and give a gift. Let the Holy Spirit tell you what this relationship is going to look like. But as we commit to give, and as we commit to pray, and as we commit to lift up her arms, we're going to see the turnaround. So right now, go ahead and get your envelope. Ask Holy Spirit what it is that he wants you to give. And we're going to pray. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are here, that you are speaking so loudly, God, that you're demanding that we give birth. And thank you, Father, that there are those in here that have heard your word. And that they will attach themselves to this apostolic anointing, God, to see revival happen across the nations. Thank you, Father, that this lost generation is coming home. That this lost generation is coming home pregnant. And they're ready, and they're going to be giving birth, God. And you know what? Sometimes birth is messy. But it's okay. Because you are here. And you are guiding us every step of the way, Father. As we plant ourselves by the river of God. Thank you for the word. Stir it up in our hearts, God. Don't let anything steal it this morning. We have great expectations. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Before you go, as the ushers are passing the bags, I just want to encourage you to stop out in the foyer and get yourself signed up, because it's not just a sowing into her financially. You want to know what's going on. And she sends out emails. So make sure that you're signed up to receive her emails, and so that you can pray for her and just cover her and go with her, right? Go with her in the spirit to what she's doing. Can we give her a hand one more time and just say, tell her thank you for coming with us? Okay, well, really quick before you go, the ushers are coming. Catherine is our missions director, and she just wants to share a word.
I sensed very strongly while the message was coming forth that there were people here who were saying, I am so dead spiritually that I can't give birth, that my womb is dead. Spiritually, I'm dead. And the Lord has a word for you today, and that is that He is raising you from the dead. That your womb is no longer dead. All it takes is one seed, one small seed of faith, and you will be alive. You are being raised from the dead. As Lazarus was raised from the dead, He is raising you from that spiritual death today. And He's speaking His life into your spiritual womb. And I just ask you, come forward. If you feel that you have a deadness in your spiritual womb, let the altar ministers pray for you today. Let them pray. Let them speak that life, that agape life, that Zoe life into your spiritual womb today. Amen.
Altar ministers, we're going to act on that word and just come up and be ready to pray and receive people that need prayer. If you need healing in your body, if you just need to know Jesus, man, don't leave until you pray with someone. They're here. They love you. They want to minister to you. So come up before you leave. Amen. Bless you all.